100, welcome to Crippled System Gen Con, episode 123, question mark?
I think it's 123, yeah.
123, exclamation point.
Actually, you had more of a question mark inflection in your voice than exclamation point.
Yay! 123. There we go. That worked. 123, what?
Who are you?
I'm Brian, number one. Brian one.
I'm Brian of another type. I've been dubbed Kerr now.
Kerr.
By Katie.
Katie was sick of calling and saying both of our names. Well, she hasn't hung out with where we've both been in the same place, so she was sick. Well, she was also drinking.
She was.
And it was unacceptable to her to call you Brian as well, so now you're Kerr. Which is kind of like Han, so it's not the worst thing in the world.
No, it's not.
And it is your name, too.
So it's one of my names, yep.
Yeah, yep. So she didn't like pick a random thing to call you, like Frank.
When I was 14, people called me Beanie for some reason. I don't know what happened.
And I'm Andy.
Woo-hoo!
Yay. I have nothing to add to that.
This is the first day after Gen Con. I'm still tired and a little bit wore out, but I'm not like physically broken. Like leaving Gen Con on Sunday, I didn't feel like a shell of a man that I am sometimes. I mean, I've always had fun, but I usually leave wounded.
In pain.
Yeah, in pain. I can't walk. I'm limping. My arm doesn't work. You know, something's happened to me by the end of Gen Con, and I've actually stayed up later this year than I did previous years, more nights.
Yeah, I was pretty amazed when I went out to see you guys gaming over at the JW Marriott. Just came over and hung out for a little bit, and Brian, you were there.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. And then I decided I was going to turn in, and you were still there when I went to bed.
It was nonstop. I mean, Wednesday night, we roll in around... I think we got in around 2-ish, which was what I was... We might actually go next year, but we might even go Tuesday night. I haven't decided. Just to camp it. Well, some people have been doing that. Just get there, then before we can just do whatever. But I don't know. It's too far away to, you know, figure out plans exactly. But got in at 2. I actually... The fucking will call line was crazy all through... Even through Saturday, people were in line for like an hour or two for will call.
Nope. The folks that I saw, but the will call line was actually, it was super long, but it was actually moving through fairly quickly, though.
Oh, it was, but I mean, it was moving quickly, but it was still like, ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a long line.
I spent like 6 minutes. I only spent like 5 minutes. I actually happened to get there when there was basically no thing, but.
I ended up getting there Thursday at 1 a.m., and the will call was awesome. There was only 2 people in line.
Yep. Well, that's why last year we got there. I never saw will call being short, so I just went over at midnight.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad drive or anything. I went through Chicago, so I only hit one bit of traffic, and that's because a semi started on fire. That was interesting looking. Otherwise, the only will call that sucked for me was when I wanted to leave and turn in my generics. I just said fuck it and left.
That's what's happened to me every year with generics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I showed up on... I was there around 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock as well. I think we rolled in about an hour after you did. And then I just... I don't even remember what I did. I went down to the Rock Bottom for a long time. Just hung out there with some of the Texan guys.
I remember what I was looking at now. I stayed at the JW Marriott... Which is the first time I was first time there. I didn't pick it. I literally, because of all the troubles getting a actual hotel.
Yeah.
I just happened that someone got me into their hotel room, and I get, you know, it was just me and people, but I was able to take that over. And it's actually a really nice hotel. The way into the hotel, the skywalk to the JW from Convention Center, basically kicks you right out to Hall B, which is a miniature gaming. So if I wanted to go over and say hi to people playing War Machine, I was literally the closest hotel to that section.
Yep.
And we never had any need. Like, normally, I end up going over to the mall like 17 times or various things, but I never went in that direction. Like, I never went that way once. Well, no, I went one time in the entire con. I went to the Ram once.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Otherwise, I never like went the whole gambit to the mall and went to the food court and did all the stuff over there, because I usually spend a lot of time over at the Embassy Suites, which is kind of kitty corner or opposite-ish. Of where the JW Marriott is, but Marriott's sweet.
I had the opposite experience at my Marriott.
You were in the Marriott.
I was in the Marriott shitbox, and
the shitbox. Right? What?
That's what that thing smelled like after we left. Oh man, the actual like regular Marriott. It was nice. It was, we were directly across from, I think, over the skywalk, we would get to Hall E.
Okay. Which
wasn't terrible. And to get to the JW, we just had to go through a parking garage, so that's where we spent some of our time otherwise. I'm sure just about everybody at Gen Con has heard my icebox story, but I will tell it again because it's hilarious.
I have not heard of this.
Well, then this is a perfect moment for me to tell you.
All right,
it's going to blow your mind.
Yeah. I have to leave the room now.
Yeah, you can go. So the start of our crap stay at the Marriott was our refrigerator wasn't working. And granted, the hotel description of the room said some rooms have a refrigerator, some don't. So I called over to the front, one of my roommates called to the front desk and said that we didn't have it working and we'd like to try and get it replaced or fixed. So the front desk lady, with the most sincere voice and truly believed what she was saying, told us that it was actually an ice box that we just put ice in and then it works. But it says good house refrigerator on the inside, and there's a big compressor unit on there too. So I didn't know that our hotel was trying to pass it off as a 1920 experience, but if it was me on the phone, I probably would have given her a lot of crap to try and suggest that a refrigerator was an icebox. But by the time we left, I had three beers that were bad because somebody put a pork and macaroni and cheese sandwich in there, hoping that it would maybe keep a little bit.
Okay.
And when we opened it up, it was just a hot box of hell. Like, I think Amanda almost vomited on the bed after one night of leaving it in there. It was rancid. So that's my icebox story. Otherwise,
was it one of those, like, looked, it had like a glass frontage on it?
No, it was one that's like inside your dresser cabinet, so you open up the two doors and it's just like a regular mini fridge.
Just like a standard, like, mini fridge?
Yep.
Okay. We actually had something similar to that. We had like a, what would you put, like, wine in or something like that? Mm-hmm. It's supposedly a mini fridge, but the doorway on it, I noticed, didn't actually close, and so the light was on inside of it all the time. And we're like, oh, this is not keeping anything cold, until I found out that they actually had a button to turn off the light. So I had to, like, jury-rig it so it actually pressed that button, and then it actually worked.
Nice.
So I didn't know if you had the same thing. I guess it's a couple days too late.
No, it's all right. We also had another good one was our exhaust fan in the bathroom.
Yeah.
There was no, like, switch for it or anything, and it was just, like, this hole in the wall in the shower itself. And I tried to, like, actually push the thing because it looked like a button almost.
Yeah.
And then we, after taking a shower, it was like, your shower was fine. Like, you got in there, you could see everything. But as soon as you step out of it into the rest of the bathroom, it was like a Swedish sauna.
Yeah.
And nice. The exhaust fan was just an elbow pipe that went into our room. It was just a hole.
What?
It was kind of junky. I mean, it wasn't a terrible experience. Not like there somebody tried to murder me in my sleep while I was there, but it was not worth the money that we paid to stay there.
I mean, were you annoyed when the janitors kept on coming in to, you know, get, like, more bleach and other cleaning supplies? I mean, is this
no, it wasn't,
the actual room you stayed in?
It wasn't that bad. No, we weren't in the cleaning closet. No, not at all. But otherwise, it was fine, I guess. I spend most of my time in the halls anyways, so I didn't really stay there much.
Yeah, I mean, the rooms, at the end of the day, don't need to be the greatest since we're not actually in the rooms too much.
Yeah. I just try to save money by, like, eating as much as I can in my room. So, like, for anyone who hasn't been to Gen Con who wants some advice on eating cheap, there are two places that you can eat that are super inexpensive. The one is Toppers. They'll deliver, okay, well, maybe three. But the ones that I know of are Toppers, and they'll deliver. They don't have, like, a gratuity charge or anything, and it's just, like, your standard pizza price instead of, like, the $30 piece of pizza.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is, if you don't mind waiting in line for a little while, is the Steak and Shake that's just on the corner of some road and some road.
The Steak and Shake is a pretty common Gen Con thing.
It is a
cheap destination. Most Gen Cons, I end up stopping there 3 to 5 times. This year, I didn't go there once. We actually every night ordered pizza from some random local place. But same idea was, you know, you don't mind waiting 45 minutes, you get normal pizza price that will feed you for a night. And you're splitting it with three people, so it's much cheaper than X. Because, I mean, I have a couple friends, when they go to Gen Con, they meet up with their friends from across the country, and every night they go to some fancy steak place or some fancy place where they literally take 2 to 4 hours for their dinner, but then each meal is like $50 to $100, and they do this all 4 nights. And I'm like, if that's your thing, I kind of get it, but man, I only had one meal that took any kind of time. Otherwise, I was, you know, everything was about quick and fast and efficient and didn't slow me down from doing Gen Con related activities. I mean, for me, which was basically just spend some time in the hall and board game constantly, but I mean, I still didn't want to get anything in the way of that. And I didn't want a 3 hour meal every day, which some people, I don't know, it's weird.
It's also dealing with 50,000 other people that are trying to get food at the same time. It's like you got your friends that are going with, you know, hey, let's go out to eat, and you got your party of eight, and you're trying to go fit into the RAM.
Exactly,
that's not going to fucking work.
Yeah, but the RAM is not. Like I said, we went to the RAM once. I think a lot of people try to sneak into the RAM at least once, just because it's a nice place to eat. You can get some Privateer Press swag stuff there. You know, shirt, t-shirts, or whatever. Just some neat things, but. Yeah, otherwise, I'm all about just doing something, and I can eat out nicely anywhere. I can't game with people from all over the country every day of the week.
Yeah, I ended up hitting the RAM, I think it was Friday night, and it was later, so I always tried to eat later, so I would ditch most of, like, normal dinner crew.
Yeah.
Ended up having the gargantuan and hated myself for a while. It was a one-pound burger.
Yeah. I'm past by that point in my life where I can't even pretend I could do that anymore. I'm
like, I killed that thing. I sure as shit did, and then hated myself afterwards, but... I got, the cool shirt and a mug and all this other stuff. The Blind Water beer tasted exactly like Spotted Cow, in my opinion. I think that's...
I got some downstairs, actually. I got the cans of it.
Yeah, after I'm not a big fan of Spotted Cow, so I didn't, take any with me. Otherwise, I probably wanted that gourd, but that is what it is. I also like to go to Scotty's at least once while I'm there. The food isn't terribly priced. You'll wait for fucking ever to get your food.
That's a game. I think the Hooks went to Scotty's a few times. They said it's a really fun atmosphere.
That's where Game Hole Con had their thing, I believe. Was that Scotty's?
I think it was. Yeah, they did, because they invited us for the Thursday, but it was
so much busy, unfortunately.
Yeah, instead of sports on their TVs, they play like nerdy movies, so... Over the lunch, we got to finish the entire first installment of The Hobbit, and then halfway through the second one.
Waiting for food?
Not just waiting. I mean, through the whole period we were there, from when we sat down till when we left.
Wow.
It was pretty bad. I mean, I think our waitress was really new, and the cool thing about Scotty's is they give you, a little commemorative die if you eat off of the Pathfinder menu, which is basically the regular menu, but with a different
fancy
name.
Names. Yeah.
And they almost got me. They had a big burger, too, but this one was 2.5 pounds, and I said, I will fucking shoot myself after I eat this thing. But I didn't get that instead.
I think we have to try that next year.
Yeah, definitely go there. If you want to try and conquer 2.5 pounds of a cheeseburger, it's probably a decent place to go.
Yeah, the only place that I ended up spending a lot of money with is actually the first day at the Rock Bottom. Was down there with some folks, and I ended up getting their cheeseburger and a bunch of other little things. But they had a whole bunch of other, some of their microbrews on tap.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some honey something. I don't know what it was. We ended up calling it honey thingy, including our waiter actually started calling it honey thingy as well. And that was actually some really good brew. But otherwise, the rest of the weekend, all I ate at was, I think, Subway. There was a Subway right around the corner down there. So that was nice and fast food. And then I actually ate at the cafe place there. Too. That's generally it's like stadium prices. I mean, it's not that expensive.
I get there one day because I did the hall 1.5 days, and I'm like, you know, I want to get as much of the hall done as I can, so I'm just gonna grab some expensive shit here, just get out of the way, go back to what I'm doing, and just have one meal where I'm paying, you know, $9 for a burger, you know. Well, not like a burger. $9 burger at like a fries is good, but a $9 burger at a convention center is your cheap ass patty.
Those burgers are not really that bad either. I mean,
but it's not. But it's just more expensive than you would.
If you like your burgers with all the fixins, they have all the fixins right there. It's not just like a fat, you know.
Yeah, I just got like chicken tenders and to go. I mean, it was quick and good. But yeah, and it was. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know you work for the PP booth. This one thing I did this year that I have not done every year for the past, I think I went the last 3 out of 4 years. I have spent 2 days where I've gone in line at 7 o'clock and rushed the hall at 10 o'clock and got a variety of things. This is the first year I never did that. So I slept in every day. I'd walk down to the hall like 10:30, 10:45 and just kind of stroll in. And, you know, I did have one person on Thursday who was able to get me the things that I needed, even though it was, the only thing is I was a little bit in danger of a selling out. I had someone get me early. Otherwise, I just casually strolled through the convention center and got what I needed.
It didn't seem like that there was a lot of things like it wasn't like on in the Privateer Press booth, you know, they did have a 10th anniversary there, but it wasn't, you know, that wasn't the exclusive there at the time. So
if people wanted the Blindwater Croc, which sold out on Thursday, I just walked in on Saturday and picked up one. They had a shit ton more on Saturday. They just ran out of
they had a planned restock on there.
Yeah.
At our party, they had mentioned that they had made sure that they had everything available for as long as they could.
They sold prints for the first time in a long time at Gen Con. I bought all of them.
Yep.
I mean, I hope they sold enough prints to realize there's a demand for that kind of thing and they'll make it going.
Well, they ran out on day one, I think.
I bought the last of two of the prints, ironically enough.
Yeah.
It was like, I got the last Chromac and I got the last, I don't know, something else. I mean, they might have restocked it. They might have got like later day restocks, but I definitely, on Thursday, I'd bought in the last of a couple of the prints. But yeah, I got every print they had for sale.
Yeah, I stormed the gates right away and in order to try and make my life easier. I ate breakfast at the indoor, at the little one of the cafe areas in Gen Con, mm-hmm. or in the convention center, and never again. I think I paid $16 for like an orange juice, a coffee, and a muffin, and some
other stuff. Yeah, that's the one meal that they really screw you on.
Yep. So it was really shitty. But
was that at the Marriott or
no, in the convention center.
Their breakfast convention center.
I'll happily take Starbucks dick up my ass for a dollar banana. And instead of going into the convention center to get some bullshit muffin for $8. But I paid a lot of attention to the vendor hall because this is the first time I've been like a free wandering person, a free spirit, so to speak, in Gen Con. So I got to notice a lot of the things that were selling out quickly, and a lot of them were surprising to me, some of them not so much. At Privateer Press's booth, the thing that they sold and never restocked were Soul Trappers. That was gone. Like, I think mm-hmm. day one, it was just gone. So were the Brute Thrall exclusives, the Femme Fatale ones. And surprisingly enough, the casters that sold out that they didn't put back on the shelf were Anson Durst and Thyrin. And those ones went pretty quickly. I know that Acosta sold out day one, and then they restocked him.
He was available on Sunday.
Yeah, I came back and grabbed that real quick. Then the other two things that I noticed were... Mysterium would sell out in the first 20 minutes every day because they'd only bring 100 copies for the morning.
I because I'm obviously a board game addict, I was watching because I'm Board Game Geek. There was like a few games or a few companies like, okay, they people knew ahead of time that Mysterium wasn't only going to have a little bit. There was this Midgard Battles game that was only going to have a few copies. So there was a few people, like some people went in. Like, I mean, Mysterium definitely did sell out every single day. Mm-hmm. You know, that was like one of the hotter games. And like, I think it was... I can't think of what the Midgard game was called. Ben Lang was talking about it. It sold it really fast and it was pretty popular. But there's a few games. There was some kind of star. There was like three or four games that were that way.
The other one that surprised me a bit too, which was it really pissed me off because I've been wanting to pick this one up for a while, is the second installment of Epic Spell Wars. I went in day one and it was maybe like one. And I went over to their booth and they were like, yeah, we sold out right away. We're not getting anymore. And I was just like... Are you kidding me? Like, you guys know that the first installment of Spell Wars, that thing sold out and was gone from the world for like months and months and months. So you just would expect the vendors to bring a little bit more with them than what they normally would.
That's on their fault too. I mean, that's
I think part of it, it's a vendor error where they just simply don't get make enough. I think part of it is sometimes they literally just, for whatever reason, there people who ship them to them have some sort of delay last second, and now they're like, well, now we're, because they reserve that booth, you know, a year, you know, 6 months, 9 months ahead of time, assuming they'd have something. Then suddenly some production error slows them back by a couple weeks. I think part of it too is like, I think some of those companies do that on purpose where they know there's some buzz about the game, so they just limit it just enough. They just enough per day to get the buzz constantly going. Like, I really wonder if Mysterium didn't have another 100 copies they could have, or 200 copies they could have dumped into that, but they wanted to just... They had just keep enough the
buzz,
to, they had enough that every hotel... I would walk around, I would see people playing it here and there. It would always gather people around it because that was the rare game that people wanted to play.
It was the same thing with Terra Mystica as well. Wasn't Terra Mystica... Isn't that Z-Man? Or it's a Z-Man game. Yeah, that thing sold out like immediately there.
Yeah,
as well.
So, back in the day, yeah.
Yeah,
but I also tried to play in Masters. Well, I didn't try to play. I did play in one of the first Masters heat. Thank Travis very much for telling me that the tournament started at 7 o'clock in the morning when registration wasn't, didn't start till 9. Hmm. So my fat ass was sitting down there for 2 hours. I probably could have went and done something else, but I didn't want to carry all my models with me. So I played in round one, kind of got the wind taken out of my sails, and then played round two against somebody who wasn't super familiar with the game, so I kind of tuned it back a little bit and then just gave up and dropped. It was a little bit of a rough day. But my that was the beginning and ending of my War Machine, because I just became a capitalist hooker in the vendor hall, bought a ton of artwork and a lot of board games and modeling stuff. And when we get to recommendations, I've got all sorts of cool stuff to recommend if you're a painter.
I was very proud of myself. I didn't spend that much money. I spent hundreds of dollars less than I do on average. Like, there was a lot of, like, the games that were the hot games that I just didn't ignore. Like, this game, like I think it's called Flick 'Em Up, that was really popular, but I'm like, it's kind of a dexterity game where you have to hit stuff around. I'm like, that doesn't really, to me, that's not really a board game. That's a goofy thing. But it was really popular.
It didn't seem like there was a whole lot that really sparked my fancy either. I mean, like, I got the obligatory smash-up Munchkin garbage.
Why'd you do that?
Because I have every single expansion, so I might as well get it. Like, it's just one of those things. And this one was a full game, not just a 4-card expansion. It was a full 8-deck expansion, so that was kind of neat. We also picked up Abyss from Asmodee. It was really funny because we went in. Amanda and I went into their booth, and I just, like, made a beeline straight for the counter and said, "Do you have any Mysteriums left?" And they were like, "Nope, 25 minutes after we opened, they sold out." So I booked it out of there, thought that Amanda was behind me. I wasn't, so she felt awkward about leaving the store without buying something. So she bought Abyss, and it seems like it's a really interesting game. The artistic flavor is really cool, so I'm looking forward to trying that out. And I picked up, it's the Expedition for Atlantis or something, or I forget what it's exactly called. You build up a crew and have a ship, and you have a proprietor of the job, and you're trying to discover the lost city of Atlantis. It's really interesting. It's kind of like part deck building and part deck building, but not really, I guess. I don't know. It's a neat game. I'm looking forward to getting more time with that too.
Ben Lang brought it on part of our Thursday night group, as I know a couple of people played it. And there's like I know there's like an auction mechanic as part of it as well, some secret like victory. I've heard good things about it.
Mm-hmm. It's neat. I'm looking forward to getting some time in on it.
And you mentioned it's a beautiful looking game.
Yeah, it is. It's very steampunk oriented, so you've got airships and you can screw your opponent over by buying shady characters for them. But one of the things is if you have a cat, you can get rid of your shady crew members. So I guess cats can see the goodness in people.
So for me, I basically hung around the privateer play area. I ran undercity demos for full groups. Just ran the first chapter in the storytelling for it. It's a pretty cool game. It's more of a scenario driven based. It looks like it would be a dungeon crawl, but it's really just a scenario. So you kind of set up the board and then you just play that chapter's storyline. But as you kill bad guys, you get more experience, and then you use that experience to buy cool abilities for your guys later on.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to giving that a try once you pull that out here. My problem with Descent is always that the game is always going to cost you a ton of money because you're going to have to buy all the expansions once you get bored of the first, or once you play through the first one. But it sounds like Privateer Press is going to be has the ability, I don't know if they're going to, but to release scenarios in no quarters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really neat. I think that's a very important part of dungeon crawler games.
Or what they can easily do too is they could just release what the card is for the guy in no quarter. Let's say if you want to play like a circle campaign of some sort, they could just say, here's a card for a warp wolf, and you can just use your warp wolf in the game itself.
Yeah.
It's built to expand like that. Yeah. It sounds like you're
I was looking at Board Game Geek, like they have like the when Gen Con's over, there's always like a buzz, like what were the most popular games they chatted about on Board Game Geek. And I know the first game was Codenames, which the Shades picked up. It's like a party game made by Vlada. Some kind of weird. It's like one person. It's like a weird. I know Annie picked up a party game as well.
Yep. I brought Two Rooms and a Boom.
Oh yeah, I saw the teaser or informative video about that.
Sure, sure.
Those two guys. I don't know. When I saw those two guys explaining the game, I just was like, I don't want to meet these people or see anybody who even acts like them.
Oh, well, the game itself, I played it with a bunch of folks. Yeah. If you're familiar with Werewolf, you have a whole bunch of roles for all the people in there. This works a little bit differently because you actually run with almost like two separate groups.
Yeah.
That you're exchanging hostages back and forth. The red team, what they want to do is there's going to be one person on the blue team that's the president and one person on the red team that's the bomb. And the goal is to get the bomb into the same room as the president.
Yeah, it's like, to me, it seemed like it was a nerve-damaged, blind hot potato with a few more rules.
I guess so. I guess you can call it that. But yeah, some of the other alternate roles that you have can add a little bit of flavor. It could be even better if there's a little bit of flavor as an alcohol involved with it.
Yeah.
There's like a paparazzi, like if two people are off on the corner, you know, discussing something, like deciding who's going to be traded to the next room, the paparazzi's job is to just go and butt into their conversation and try to find, you know, just basically do research in that. There's a couple other hidden agendas, like there's a sniper and there's a target. So at the end of the game, if the sniper is able to call out who the target is, then he wins as well as whatever team won too.
Yeah, I think that'll be the only thing I regret about not going to the two booms in a room or two rooms in a boom gatherings, is that I'm not much of a werewolf player, and this sure. One seems like it's definitely different from werewolf to yep. Where I would want to experience it with people who have a little bit more of a grasp with those games, so I could observe what the better ways are to play it before mm-hmm. I actually just
you got a little cool it. Experience on Saturday night.
Oh yeah, that was really fun. I found out how not to play that game really quick.
Yeah, I think we had 8-player coup going.
Yep, 8-player coup. Never ever. Well, not ever, but I think it's probably good sound advice that if someone pays 3 to assassinate you, you should probably not call them out for it if you have 2 life. It ends poorly.
If you're saying you call bullshit on their assassin.
Yep, I did it twice, and that's how I lost in my first 2 games. I think I was feeling invincible because I had the Contessa with one of them, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, I'm going to call bullshit so quick on this one because I was like waiting for someone. Or no, it wasn't. No, I didn't have the Contessa.
If you had the Contessa, you would have automatically blocked it.
Yeah, no, one of them I did, but the other one I didn't have her, and I called bullshit and died.
I somehow managed to win 2 of the 3 games we played. That was a shocking thing for me. Katie's first game win of just taking a dollar for like 15 turns till she won was ridiculous.
I think with you were a little wiped and you weren't drunk like half the rest of us were. So I think you kind of just you slid into that like I can play in the background and screw everybody type of deal. I think that's what happened.
It worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. I actually, random drink on things, Castles of the Mad King. It's a game, Mad King Ludwig. I love that game. They didn't sell the expansion there, but they were demoing it because it's going to be for sale like in 2 months.
Sure.
But if you play the game, they're adding these moats things where you actually build moats that go around your castle. So if you're building a castle, you have to like keep it small, otherwise, because the moats are only X size, so you can't actually fit it. And they had some other neat mechanics like secret passageways and these other kind of little things. It was kind of a... That's like the one game I'm excited for that I didn't get to play. I saw this other game called Above and Below, which I didn't really see much about it, but it just looked neat.
Like I saw that as I was going through the hall, too. I saw it, and I was like, I tried to figure out what it was, and I just kept on walking because there was too many people in my way.
And it was one company, they had this like fairy tale battle game where basically you played, maybe one person was Pinocchio, one person was whatever. It had like 48 to like 96 characters.
Hmm.
And you'd play it, and like, your whole goal was you had to complete quests while killing other players while continuing on. And if we played, like if I killed Brian, it just meant he would respawn the next turn in the middle, and he would just keep going. There was no player elimination. You would just keep going, and like, whoever would kill X amount of players and complete X amount of quests would be the first winner and stuff. And it was kind of a neatly themed looking. It was actually a really nice presented game.
You mentioning no pillar elimination. That was the one really cool thing about Two Rooms and a Boom is there is no player elimination in that game. So unlike Werewolf, where you know you're just sitting there as a villager or wherever, just sitting there waiting for a half hour for the game to complete or whatever it is. Yeah, there's no player elimination. Did any of you guys have like? Did you? Brian and I always had a tradition for Gen Con where we went out and we bought like one random game. Did you buy any random games this time around?
The Shays were crazy. Well, the Shays bought. Jeremy bought a two-player game that was basically you create your own monsters for the first half of the game. You get X amount of points. You have to create three times the monsters, and they could have you know there's like a deck of like it's like you spend like 10 minutes just creating your army, then you battle out in a scenario. And then Katie bought Dungeon Lord, which was pretty slick, which is a big one. But they bought like the Happy Anniversary Edition, which was just mega. We played like one. We did actually complete a full game at Gen Con. We were gonna play it on Saturday, but Katie was mad at Jeremy, so she wouldn't let him play it. So we played it Sunday night, which was a lot of fun. And then they also bought that another game I mentioned earlier, that fighting that whatever it was called, the Codenames game.
Party.
I bought a bunch of expansions for games I own. Like I got like Sons of Anarchy expansions. I got Firefly expansions, which I threw out at Gen Con, which was great. Got the big mad. That game is massive now with every expansion. It takes up like a table and a half of space to play that game.
Yeah,
now. It's insane.
Our table that's here for a podcast, we couldn't fit it.
I don't think you could fit that game in this place. But
yeah,
downstairs in your 4x8 and fit.
Yeah,
you need like a 4x6 table to play Firefly nowadays. It's a little ridiculous. I like that one game. That company that sold that fairy tale game also had like this steampunk like battle thing game, and they had a lot of booths. I noticed, like I would say, I came across between 5 and 10 booths where they had games where they were just announcing Kickstarters that were going to be launching in the next 2 months. So they had like promo of their games where you couldn't actually get it there, but they're like, hey, we're kickstarting a game in a month, and if you do something with us here now and pre-pledge, you'll get these bonus things on top of the Kickstarter pledge and all these kind of things. And that same company that I was looking at had a Kickstarter starting really soon, and they had like 4 other games, and I don't know who their sculptor is, but all their miniatures were pretty amazing. And I was like, I almost bought one of the games, but I'm like, I'm just going to do some research on the company as a whole, because everything I do is Kickstarter, which is fine, but I want to make sure they're at least...
Do you even know what the company's name was?
I have their card at home. It's like a...
Oh, okay.
It's probably even like a recently looked at game.
We'll talk about that on Sunday.
Fairy Tale Games, the Battle Royale, is one of their games, and Heavy Steam is another one. They just had a whole pile of games that are coming out. It's a very interesting company. Greenbrier.
Okay, I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're a very interesting company. I almost give them a bunch of my money. Well, the Fairy Tale game was like $50, but... And it was one of those things where each player, you get a cardboard chit that represents it, but they also sold miniatures, which you could move around. The miniatures were like, you could get like sets of 10 for like $40 or whatever, or all the miniatures would be like $300. It was ridiculous. But they, of course, the Gen Con special for only $190, you get everything. And that almost got me in, but I was able to control myself somehow at Gen Con, and I must have spent almost half as much money as I normally do at Gen Con.
I did not spend nearly as much money as I normally do. I mean,
buy so much more porn this week.
The only thing I spent money on was the new expansion for Shadows of Brimstone, the Caverns of Cinder.
Yeah. Luckily, I did spend some money in their booth because they had a couple things that were up beyond the Kickstarter. But
the only thing I had a problem with their stuff is... So they had the alternate like nun from the preacher.
Yep.
The nun was there. The rancher was there. Yeah. And I think that maybe they had something else. But I looked over the rancher, and they must have changed what they're making them out of now, because it looked like it was just pure resin, and there was bubbles all over the rancher. Like in the same spot on the hat, there was just a giant gouged bubble out of every single one of them.
Miniatures in the core game. Well, have you looked at the miniatures in that box to see?
Yeah, those are the standard, you know, plastic, pressed ones, yeah. The plastic ones. But the alternate ones, I don't know if it was maybe their first test resins or something, but there was just
did say limited edition things, so that might be their first run of stuff where they were just selling it off.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
They were just... I mean, the nun looked okay, but unfortunately, the one I wanted, which was the male rancher, just had bubbles everywhere.
That's weird. Kinda, Yeah, because their models aren't really resinous, but yeah, I didn't look at any of that stuff because I'm getting it all at some point later.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I think it's really weird or really difficult for, not so much difficult, but it's kind of like a problem for some folks who sell miniatures when they come to Gen Con and they show up with their stuff like not handled or cleaned or painted or anything. Mm-hmm. I will, every year I've been to Gen Con, the biggest offender has been weird. Because they had a big, awesome case. The case looked amazing. And their presentation of their booth is spot on. I really don't think there's a booth in the entirety of Gen Con that looks better than theirs. But their booth is full of their models, which look really amazing. And not a single one has even a base coat on it. And meanwhile, you've got people like Privateer Press's top of the top painters. And then the painting... booth stuff over there for the painting competition stuff over there, and then you've got a Cool Mini or Not, like those guys just like shit good painted models.
Mm.
You can't show up to Gen Con with stuff that doesn't look on point.
Yeah. Talking about weird, I walked past their booth there, and they had like this kind of like city scene, but they had this like Cthulhu like beast coming up in the center of the city. The Cthulhu beast looked decent. It looked pretty nicely painted, but in its tongue at the very top there, he was holding an unpainted model. So, I mean, like, the rest of it just looked really beautiful, beautiful painted, except for the very top there, the tongue was just a standard unpainted model. I'm like, how did... You could have done that in a day and, you know...
Yeah, if you're going to go through the work of everything else, why would you hold back?
their problem, not to go off on a weird tangent, but I think, like, when they... They used to have a painter who was decent. He was worth his salt, and that's when they still had their metal models. So their website images would be the model as painted
mm-hmm.
by that painter. But when they went over to this 3D imaging and having their new plastics being made, they took away the images. Now it's just the 3D model that goes on their boxes. Oh. So they've eliminated their painter completely, and I don't think their intention is to get a new one anytime soon, but it seems like a real fuck up on their part.
Yeah. I mean, well, people like looking at studio schemes.
The one that I think the most people were hanging around was that Rum and Bones board. That one that was the massive pirate ship.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That thing was fantastic.
That game annoys me because it looks cool. I mean, it looks amazing. You're right. There's always people always around it, and it looked magnificent. But like, it's like in the Kickstarter, they made out just a fuck ton of money. But it was like, imagine, it was like a game where you like, yeah, do pirate ships and you fought each other, and you got, you know, different pirate crews, and that sounds cool. Except that every single game is like it's like the same scenario. Yeah, all the time.
Exactly. I almost wanted to buy it too, but then I saw how much extra stuff they had, and I was just like, I can't do that.
But the extra stuff didn't change the game. It was still just you, just two guys fight in the middle. Yeah, I mean, there was literally no. And I mean, that's fine. I'm going to throw $50 in a game where it's the same. So, I mean, you can say I have a lot of games. It's the same thing. Every game of whatever is the same. But for the money they were going to throw in to get everything and spend the $500, $700, $900 for no variance didn't seem to make any sense to me.
Yeah, it's like a mini war game. And yeah. I thought at first when they came out with it that they were going to go like full mini war game on it, like they do with Dark Wars. Age or something.
Or something where there's different types of things happening, scenarios and all these. It just was this one same board.
It's just a board game that has different crews you can play. Yeah. Where if they had done something that was more macro, like something like that, like their skirmish Dark Age game,
sure,
then I think maybe that would have bought a lot more attention. But as a board game, it's kind of wonky.
Fantasy Flight's booth never not had a long line.
Exactly.
They had a time when they didn't have a long line.
When the fire marshal came?
Yep.
Yeah, they had to call the fire marshal on that company because their line was so bad.
Interesting story is that Gen Con basically went to every single one of the big booths and told them, said, hey, you guys got to figure out something to do with your long lines. We know you're going to have like Privateer, you know, Ninja Division, Cool Mini or Not, and
Ninja Division has grown insane too. Yeah, go side topic, but yeah. But anyway, you were saying.
But they were told that they need to make sure that they have their lines in check, and you know they can't have a line anymore. You can't loop your booth, but you can't go further than that.
Yeah.
So, Privateer ended up having to come up with some kind of weird plan. They actually handed out, like, tickets for their lines. That seemed to work out. Some people seemed to really like it, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, if you came there early, it said come back between 9 and 9:30, come back between 10 and 10:30. It was like, come back in a half an hour, and you got a spot.
Yep.
you know.
But yeah, they got the fire marshal called on them for having their line too big, which that's pretty horrible.
Yeah, and they did something. I mean, but they still had a line the entire time, but they just had a spot where it's like, look, you can't be in line for it. They just capped it after a long period, but it was ridiculous. I never even got in their booth, although I probably would have bought a couple expansions, a couple games that I don't play as much, but I still, I mean.
Did you see the big announcement?
Their X-Wing or their... Nope. I've seen some of that. I've seen so much. Tell me what
there it was. There was a keynote on, I don't remember what day
their
it was.
Their keynote's Friday.
Yeah. The big keynote. So Warhammer Quest.
Oh, I saw that. Well,
Warhammer Quest, like the card game.
Yeah, though.
It's not.
I was hoping to, because I saw Warhammer Quest, a card game, and I was going to like take a picture of it and just text you the picture of Warhammer. Because I was saying, Warhammer Quest is coming by Fantasy Flight, the card game.
Yeah, I was talking to some guys over at the Privateer booth, and they're kind of in eyesight.
Yeah.
So I was just glancing the horizon. I was talking to somebody, and I just like totally shut up, and I'm just staring across the thing. I see Warhammer Quest over there. Why is that there? And then they told me what it was. I'm like, oh.
Bubble popped.
Yeah.
That's really nice. I mean, who knows? It might be just like the Blood Bowl team manager, and that game is really fun.
Yeah, so if they do, Fantasy Flight does great things.
Yeah.
But there's a really cool Eldritch Horror expansion that's out that I want to get. I'm actually going to, for October, get that game kind of rolling. I like to get my horror-themed games out in the month of October as much as possible. I like to think about more than that, but I try to focus on them. Should I stay themed? We're actually going to keep this podcast short, so we have to kind of move it along. Yeah. Any other highlight moments of Gen Con that we want to... We're kind of rambling about Gen Con constantly, but that's to be expected.
That's where... I mean, we're going to be... This is kind of like a warm-up episode for this Sunday when we bring Nathan in.
Yeah, because he probably had quite a bit to do, too.
He got the new legendary Predator game.
Mm-hmm.
So Legendary Aliens was cool because it was basically... It's a co-op. It takes place all four movies. Well, Predator only had two movies, but the box is the same size. So you can do co-op for the two movies.
Yep.
But then you can do Predators versus Predators, and whoever hunts the most humans wins, and you can like fight each other. Then they have an add-on module to do Predators versus the Alien game that they have. So you can like take the Predators through the Alien scenarios with like tweaked rules and stuff. And
they also announced two more.
Yep.
Big Trouble in China and Firefly.
Yep.
So you could possibly do an Aliens versus Firefly.
And that's where we learn Jeremy has never seen Big Trouble in China.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, it was the most awful thing for humans to say.
Also, I learned as well that Travis has never seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Travis wouldn't understand that movie. It's hilarious. he would just stare there. Why can't they get home? I don't get it.
So I guess my game that I picked up that was my random game pick.
Yeah.
It was the first booth that I walked past that I was completely entranced by the artwork that was in it. It was a guy by the name of... Oh, geez, I don't have it here. Damn it. Andy Hopp. He has like a weird monster designs that he makes. Just everything looked freaking awesome. But he had a card game there that had like 9 expansions. So I figured I'd pick it up. But I don't know. Brian will probably appreciate the... Or Kerr would probably appreciate the artwork about it. But yeah, that was my random pickup is a game called Gazoink.
Not a random thing, because I mentioned I didn't get anything new other than like almost that one company. At one point, there was an R2-D2 in a Dalek having a conversation, and it was the most bizarre thing to see like those things chatting, like the beep, 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 and then it would like respond with like, it's, you know,
the exterminate
the dialogue, you know, talking. And next to the Doctor Who booth, there's another booth, people just selling fezzes, which I thought was a very smart thing for them to be doing.
They had baby sized fezzes.
That was a very clever. Yeah, I know. Just seeing the interaction and the cosplay. I mean, I would say the cosplay was on par. There was a guy, I didn't see him, and I saw the guy, but in the morning on Saturday, because Saturday is an insane cosplay day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was there early enough, and he was basically dressed up as, what's his name from Guardians of the Galaxy? My brain just shut down.
Star-Lord.
But he was like walking down the aisle with the his music playing, like singing into like the water bottle, just kind of strutting down the entire aisle. Yeah. And it was early enough that he wasn't like he couldn't do it late in the day because it was just too thick. But he was smart enough to kind of wander and just circle the hall, just kind of just strutting along, just, you know, he looked just like him. He had the strut down and
nice.
It was there were actually two Star-Lords there, and one of it must be so soul crushing to see someone who just does it a little bit better than you do.
Yeah, because that guy nailed it. And then it's like, well, yeah, it's weird because you see some people and there was a very little amount of bad Mad Max. I was surprised how little Mad Max stuff I saw.
Yeah, I saw a couple of Doof Warriors, and that was about it.
Yeah, it was a lot. I figured there would be a little more. I mean, there was a, yeah, it was, I mean, there was an insane amount of people doing an insane amount of things, but I was a little surprised by the lack of Mad Max.
I'm working on my Immortan Joe costume.
There was someone who was dressed as, there was a lady, or you retweeted the witch doctor picture. Someone.
Yeah, the witch doctor.
Oh, yeah, the witch doctor. Witch doctor. Yeah. I also got a picture of, the cosplay couple that came in as Polyhedron. Bastion.
Polyhedron. I do believe that's what they go by, is Polyhedron cosplay.
I don't know. I just have their Twitter handles. That's on our Twitter feed.
Yeah, the male and female. They do like Ayana and Holt and Kaya and Krios, I think.
Yeah.
It wasn't Krios. It was just Sebastian.
Oh, Bastion. Okay.
Sebastian and Kaya.
They all men off look the same to me.
Yeah, they're all white. Can't tell them apart.
Oh, did you see the picture of Jeremy took with the... So there was a red astromech. Was that the one you were talking about? The R2-D2?
There was that one, but then there was an actual
R2-D2? Because there was a red astromech that came by. So it wasn't R5-D4, it was the other one. But Jeremy goes, look it, there's a picture of me with R2-D2. Like, and then like five people jumped in and were like, no, that's not R2-D2.
Yeah.
Like,
I think...
nerd fail.
I didn't get a chance to hunt for random games or do demos, because it seemed like demos were probably the most like popularized thing. It was just so hard to get into a demo.
Yeah.
But and I was also hunting for a lot of things. I think I ended up buying like 3 Cognifex siphons and 5 Blindwater witches, and just
I'll be giving away some of the Witch Doc Crocs at the next 6-pack.
But the thing that just stood out the most to me through all of Gen Con was I got into the elevator on the ground floor in our hotel, and the next 4 people that came in with just single file were like 6, 6, 6, 6. We were all going to floor 6. And one guy comes in, he's just like, he has his headphones in. You can hear his music to the point where I don't think he heard any of us saying anything. And he just like hits floor 12, and just without missing a beat, he's just like combo breaker and looks at the elevator. That guy was my hero. Like that he hit 12 and said combo breaker, and just just looked at the elevator door the whole time. I'm just like, I want to have sex with you right now. It's just great. Oh man, that was a good time. But
and I like when cosplayers like intermingle, and they just like, if it's characters of either the same thing or similar. Sometimes you get cosplayers who nemesis run each other, or the same cosplayer hits each other. There's always like some of them really just really they ad lib the little encounters very well sometimes, which you know helps me. I would never get into that kind of thing, but it's so much fun to watch the shenanigans unfold sometimes when it just turns into some goofy thing. Well, it's like the guy, people who did Bruce Wayne's parents.
And ran around, my God.
And, you know, but there's all sorts of things where you use those little, when you can catch that little odd moment.
Kerr, have you heard about Bruce Wayne's parents?
Not from the, no.
So it was a couple that would run up to any Batman and then lie down in front of him.
I think I remember hearing something about that last year, but I did not get the privilege of seeing it.
Yeah, it wasn't Gen Con. It was like Dragon Con is like just exists just to be. I don't know what else they do at Dragon Con other than cosplay. I mean, they cosplay from like 11 a.m. to like 1 a.m. and then there's the orgy from 2 p.m. to 5 a.m. and then they repeat the next 2 days. That's all I know about Dragon Con.
It seems interesting.
So we should probably talk about what we're going to talk about on Sunday, maybe a little bit.
A teaser of sorts?
A teaser of sorts. This is basically what it is. It's a teaser. We're going to talk about Gen Con more.
We are?
We should talk about the TempleCon move.
TempleCon is being moved to August, which is when Gen Con is.
That's a bad idea.
Where people at...
but we'll talk about it Sunday.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah. Recommendations. I guess let's do that, I guess. I don't know.
I don't have a recommendation except for...
Go to Gen Con.
Go to Gen Con. That number one... Actually, Will Pagani is pretty damn sweet, and Tom Guan is sweet as hell. Will Pagani actually donated or gave to our podcast the Chromac 2.
Will Pagani talked about... I played Forbidden Stars on Thursday night with like Jeremy and Ben Lang and... Oh, my God. What's his name from Chicago? Ben Lang's friend. He's a good guy. He's in the booth with Tony. I think Tony... Yes, Tony.
Tony Faber?
No. The other Tony, who was in the beard. He was doing a lot of the Iron Arena stuff. Anyway, he was doing that. He was PG. Anyway, he's a cool guy.
Sure.
we did that Thursday, and then Friday we were supposed to, or Wednesday night, we were going to try to play Forbidden Sides every night. And in a four-hour game, that's why I was up late, and Pagani was supposed to play us on Wednesday, because he's like, he loves it, and he's like, oh, I can't go, I got to do other things.
What?
Yeah, I got to hang out with some people. I'm like, we planned this to do this with you on Friday night. You know, I bring the game down to play with Pagani, because he says he likes the game. If he liked the game, he wouldn't make time to play it, so he must be bad at the game and doesn't really, he doesn't be embarrassed by us.
He's probably horrible at it.
I mean, he travels there, says he's good at the game, and then he would lose to Jeremy. He probably would have to be shameful. So
yeah,
maybe War Machine Weekend, if he has the balls, we'll give him a chance to play it when we are hosting board games constantly throughout the convention.
And Crazy Tom Gwan. Crazy Tom Gwan. So he ended up having somebody assemble and paint his Denny 3 for the event.
Yeah.
And at the end of the event, we found out that he actually has like two other copies of Denny 3 as well. And he was just going to toss her. So I asked him if he could donate it to Who's the Boss, nice. Which he did.
I have all alternate copies of Ethereum's alternate leaders. I stopped at the booth.
God damn it.
I was talking to the guys.
I couldn't find them.
They were in the near the cool booth of the Briar Games. They were like in the back. They were like in the back, like third, where I don't know. It's, I call it the Renegade section, where they don't. It's game companies that are valid, but they're not like the big companies. It's not,
sure. They're
no Flying Frog is shoved in the back corner. It's all these rogue companies that somebody will push themselves forward and become these mega companies, but they're in their like growing stage.
Sure,
I love those roles. They're my favorite roles at Gen Con, and they're over there and. I talked to them for a little while. I said, hey, we had fun playing your game. We were demoing. I was kind of fishing for like, hey, you know, we promo your stuff. If you happen to give me something, I'll make sure we play it. We'll get it assembled. We'll try it out. We'll promote it. Which I will, because it was fun to play. So, and the big thing is the leaders make the game more exciting, having variety.
Yep.
So I got a bunch of new leaders that I'll get you to have assembled, and we can throw down some more games for them and get some. Because Ethereum is fun. I think that game gets so little press. A game where the terrain is shifting. I don't know if you ever saw the video we did about the Ethereum. Because it was a neat, functioning game, and we were going to do some more stuff with it anyway. So now we'll have more models to have some fun with it, because I think it's worth people's time.
I heard it actually sold out fairly quickly, didn't it? Or I wasn't sure.
They just had some blisters of stuff. But yeah, I don't know exactly how much they were selling. They definitely had some shelves being empty, but yeah.
That's cool. That's good.
So I guess for my recommendation, the booth that I was the most pleased with while I was there, since I didn't really get a whole lot of time to wander around, was a Scale 75 Studios or Scale 7. It's one of those numbers. It's Scale either 7 or 75. And the reason what attracted me was they do a lot of like 120 millimeter and 75 millimeter sculpts of full, not just busts, just full models. A lot of them have striking resemblances to certain movies. Like they had Ragnar Lothbrok from Viking as one of their models, and they've got a lot of steampunky pinup stuff that's not overtly sexist. But they were selling their painting systems, and they have like little tutorials about how to get the same effect on the box. And I had heard a little bit about their paints. And after using them today, I almost could just take the few paints from each other paint manufacturer that I use and keep those and ditch the rest for these. Their paints are just awesome. They're a little thin, but I love them. They're so good.
Are they built for an airbrush then, if they're thinner?
No. They're mostly... It seems like they've got, with the thin quality to them, they're not like Vallejo Game Air thin.
Okay.
They run through an airbrush fine, but you still need to thin them down.
Sure.
Their metals run through fine, which is amazing, because that's probably one of the more hard things to find to run through an airbrush.
Yep.
The other thing is their paints are at this weird point where they've almost like perfected. They work well to wet blend, and they work well to glaze. They're so phenomenal. I think the next time on Sunday I might bring some. So
is it alcohol based?
No, it's not alcohol based, because my natural brushes just were fine and dandy after I used them. Usually, if I use a natural brush with an alcohol based color, it just fucks it.
Yeah, because it dries so quickly.
Yeah,
and then you have all just pigment left.
Yep, you have a little pigtail brush, the end of like a pigtail. So That's my recommendation. I was so close to buying one of their Ragnars, but I wanted to hold off, and by the time I got there, they were doing the whole, like, buy two, get one free of their painting packs because they wanted to not take that much back with
sure.
them.
Sure.
Yep. Sunday is amazing. If you can hold out to Sunday and you find a company who still has some stock left, you can get some deals. They're like, we don't want to pack this fuck up here to give us something. let us break even just so we don't have to haul this shit home.
I think I left that booth with 75 paints.
Nice.
Jesus. I gave no shits.
Yeah. No, it's I walked in, like, when I was big in Hearth Arts, I just left with a bunch of shit for them. Sometimes you find shit of your hobby, it's a good deal.
Oh, and thankfully enough, since Ohio had a local store there, and he was selling a lot of, like, bits and stuff, but then he had other products that he bought with him. He was selling at, like, I think 30% off to move it, and wonderfully enough, Amanda started her third faction that I have to start supporting, so that'll be fun. She ended up picking up Paley 2 and the Signar all-in-one box for, like, I think $80.
Hope you guys like gaming with the Shays, because you've got to see Shay shenanigans.
Yeah, I know. It was interesting. Amanda and Katie seemed to hit it off well, and, and Jeremy got drunk, and so did I, so.
A win-win.
Yeah. Well, kind of. A drunk Jeremy is actually sometimes a very entertaining Jeremy.
He was decent, but it seemed like he got drunk to the point where he got tired. And that's you have to just, like, power through that and get to the next level.
Katie was giving him shit all Saturday, so I think he was just trying to. I think he got wore out by Katie's harassment. He had made an error earlier in the day and didn't realize the mistake he made, and Katie was calling vengeance on him for, like, 8 hours. I didn't realize. I thought you were just being mean to him for a few hours until I realized it was a little bit more than normal. I was like, man, Katie's a little bit extra mean to him today. And then,
also on Sunday, I'll probably talk about the Glacier King a little bit.
Well, yeah, we can talk about him and Zal. We can go over some of the actual models and stuff on Sunday. And I'm sure Nathan will have some boring story, some shit he did.
Well, I mean, he basically showed up Saturday morning and then left Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. I got to hang out with Fool finally for the first time, like, 10 months, so that was nice.
Yeah, it was nice being around him. I after we got done, I was so kicking myself in the ass for not going and doing drunken BattleTech pods. I was so pissed at myself.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Well, we were at this point where we were just sitting there, like, heeing and hawing back and forth about, like, should we go out to drink or should we go to do BattleTech.
Man, pods. I would have gone those BattleTech pods in a minute.
Yeah, we got to the point where I think Nate was a little, like, wavery on what he wanted to do. Maybe it was Katie who was first wavery, and then from there the system broke down, and it was me and Amanda and Gary sitting there, and we were like, we're gonna leave early in the morning. We're just gonna not do it, and I hate myself for it now.
So they used to have BattleTech pods over at Misty.
Yeah, they did. That's why I'd always go to Misty when I was a Magic player when I was younger, because I've been playing Magic since Arabian Nights. Nights. They always had them, and I never got a chance to get into one, and then they had them there, and I'm like, oh, maybe I should try this today. And then it was like, what, 2 generic tickets? I'm like, whatever. I'll just do that at, like, 2 in the morning.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. So I think it was like $6 overall to play for an hour in the BattleTech pods. But meanwhile,
not that long, but it was a while.
Yeah, but I know that, like, you could pay $8 to go play Minecraft for an hour.
Ooh.
Over at that video game place.
That sounds like, super great.
When I was looking through the list there, I'm like, that doesn't sound fun at all.
I was looking for some Heroes of the Storm or Planet Side 2 to play, but they didn't have that as options. I mean, Jeremy,
they actually had Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes of the Storm. I saw. You could pay them to play Hearthstone for an hour as well. I was like, I got my phone. I can just log in.
Well, they're playing for you, so it's
true.
That's hilarious.
All right, but that should be it. Thank you guys for coming.
Yeah, we'll be back in full force on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll be all ready and charged and good to go. And maybe by then I actually might have my Glacier King assembled.
10% chance I won't be here on Sunday, but I should be here.
What?
I'm visiting my mom on Sunday. But
that's fine.
Yeah, I'll be here. It won't be a problem.
All right. Cool. Maybe you should bring over some paints. We should paint during Sunday.
You know, every time I've been, this is probably a bad time to bring this up, but I'm one of these people where I sit in my cube. I don't talk to anybody. I work silently. So I've listened to podcasts, and unfortunately the podcast world does not keep up with as or as fast as I can listen to them.
Sure.
So what I've been doing is I think I've gone back from current News on Minis to episode 36, and I think I am on episode 12 of Crippled System from current. So oh. I feel like I know you better now and your painting and why you don't paint that much. So I feel like we can remedy this.
How'd you like episode 10?
I'm on 12.
Yeah.
10. I'm going backwards. That's why I'm becoming a shittier War Machine player, because I'm listening to all Muse on Mini's shitty topics from when they first started out.
That sounds like a good place to end it.
All right.
Bye-bye. See you guys Sunday.